Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. I wanted to make this the first poolside edition of the year, but my whole family's out in the backyard. So down in the basement I am. I have dropped every story that doesn't have to run today, and this is still a packed episode. So much went down over the weekend. Let's start with Norm MacDonald's special. I have not seen it yet. I wasn't home most of the weekend, but there will be spoilers, so if you don't want to hear about Norm's special, skip ahead. From the Washington Post, on the afternoon of June 28th, 2020, Norm MacDonald had an idea. This was not a normal day. The next morning, he would have a stem cell transplant. His cancer, in remission for 7 years, had returned. He called up Lori Jo Hoekstra, his best friend and neighbor, and his producing partner for 2 decades, and said, "Lo Jo, I want to shoot it tonight." She said, "Oh boy, really?" The procedure made it hard for Norm to stick to his original plan. He was stage ready and planning to tape a pair of performances in LA. Then there was that pesky pandemic. Then his monthly visit to the hospital revealed his original cancer, multiple myeloma, had metastasized into myelodysplastic syndrome, I hope I said that right, which can lead to acute leukemia. The diagnosis left MacDonald and Hoekstra spinning and unsure of the next steps. Except for one thing, whatever happened, Norm wanted to make sure his special was shown. The special is called Nothing Special, named by Norm before he died, and includes footage at the end, like a half-hour coda, from a group of friends and admirers, including David Letterman, Dave Chappelle, Molly Shannon, Conan O'Brien, David Spade, and Adam Sandler, discussing Norm on camera after watching the special together. Conan said, "I felt this kind of joy that Norm's back, to be honest with you. I felt like he's here with us. Isn't this a nice gift to get to be with Norm some more?" Hoekstra said, "I wasn't sure which cameras we were going to use or where it would be shot. At first, I think I had him sitting up on a chair like a little far away. Then we decided to move for lighting just to get closer. That's why we shot it where we did. They set up in her condo. An HD camera captured Norm MacDonald from the front, an iPhone from the side. For lighting, she flipped on a bright lamp, and Norm MacDonald, clean-shaven and wearing headphones and a blue sport coat over a pink golf shirt, sat at her kitchen counter. 54 minutes without stopping, Norm delivered his material." Hoekstra wrestles with whether the celebrity panel takes away from MacDonald's performance. She also isn't sure what to share of the comedian's life. He didn't want anything about his illness to get out, but there are things she does want people to know that he went through. The rounds of chemotherapy in 2013 left him with constant pain in his feet, so bad that he described it as walking on shards of glass through fire. That is the reason he wasn't being flaky when he would bail on social commitments. Then it was his physical appearance. After his cancer diagnosis, he had to go on a powerful steroid that caused his face to swell. On his YouTube show, he pretended, "I'm a fat slob and I'm here eating fried chicken," but it was complete BS, says his brother Neil. He was doing it to come up with a reason for having put on weight. David Letterman calls the special, "Not strictly speaking stand-up, it's something else." Continuing from the Washington Post article, Norma never talked of dying. He thought he would recover late in July. He did a voiceover for Seth MacFarlane's show The Orville. That's out this week while at the hospital. Not that anybody on the other side knew. Hoekstra found a private room, turned off the beeping monitors and hospital intercom so nobody could tell where he was zooming from. A month before he died, Norm told Hoekstra he wanted to watch the special they had shot, so she raced home and searched through a box of about 50 unlabeled video memory cards, eventually finding the June 28th footage and hustling back to the hospital. Norm watched it from his bed and gave her notes. No one else knew. It was left to her after Norm's death to tell Netflix. Everyone had the same concern. How does he look? Conan answers, "He looks fantastic. The way it's shot really features his secret weapon, those eyes and those dimples, and his inner light is beaming as strongly as it ever did. I mean, it didn't look like a man who was diminished in any way." Conan says, "Selfishly, I don't feel badly for Norm. I feel badly for all of us. I can't wait to watch this thing." Consequence wrote, "The special is performed in the style of a webcast. Norm has a microphone. He's sitting down, focusing mostly on his face as if zooming into his own special. Some of the material is a little unpolished, but it allows a range of topics that Norm MacDonald makes equally appropriate for his folksy style. Potentially cornball material about airplanes and doctors swirled into darker, more morbid thoughts about plane crashes and hospital life support. As with a lot of Norm material, his references to the idea of being trans isn't exactly mockery. He does kind of a double twist where he's goofing on the bluntness of his father, who he makes clear is from a different time, and then further goofing on the idea that someone of his father's time would be considered appallingly backwards. Typical of Norm, he breaks his own tension with a bitter joke. He goes on to talk about how his family was surprisingly progressive because they used a gender-neutral bathroom at home and makes fun of the nonsensical, unsolicited racism imposed on him by taxi drivers. Also over the weekend, a big article in the New York Times with Ted Sarandos. He is the boss of Netflix. He says he was taken by surprise at the kerfluffle over Chappelle's special, but did not agonize over supporting Dave. He says the only way comedians can figure out where the line is by crossing the line every once in a while. I think it's very important to the American culture generally to have free expression. We're programming for a lot of diverse people of different opinions and different tastes and different styles. And yet, we're not making everything for everybody. We want something for everybody, but everything's not going to be for everybody. Rarely do you get the opportunity to put your principles to the test. It was an opportunity to take somebody, like in Dave's case, who is by all measure the comedian of our generation, the most popular comedian on Netflix for sure. Nobody would say that what he does isn't thoughtful or smart. You just don't agree with him. As for the Ricky Gervais special that went up last week, he said his remarks about Mr. Chappelle applied to Mr. Gervais, writes the New York Times. The AV Club commented on the New York Times piece. They pointed out that Sarando's quote, "Nobody would say that what he does isn't thoughtful or smart." They wrote a sentence in which the word nobody is doing a bleeping truckload of work. As usual, Sarandos doesn't appear to have dipped into his own views on trans rights for the piece, instead phrasing Chappelle and Gervais' transphobic commentary as disagreements with the people hurt by it. He also asserted that Netflix wants to have something for everybody, including, the implication goes, people who agree with the comedian's continuing stream of transphobic jokes. New topic from the CBC. A woman says she was among at least 30 people who walked out of Rumors Comedy Club in Winnipeg Friday night due to a number of racist and homophobic comments from Rich Voss. Kelsey Lanigan says, one of the things Voss said was, "Listen, lady, I'm not your sponsor. You need to go to your next AA meeting." He was making a joke about a talent show and saying that, you know, these ladies who were indigenous women would likely come up and make dream catchers. Voss also made a joke about hoping the women would get ticketed for driving under the influence, perpetuating an offensive stereotype. Mark Turner was sitting at a table at the show, said he felt uncomfortable throughout Voss's set, including when the comedian used the word gay in a derogatory sense, but didn't want to make a scene because he was at a birthday party. However, he said everyone in his party eventually reached a breaking point. Turner says, "The one that caused our table to go, right, that's it, we've had enough, and stand up and walk out in unison," is when he said they should all go back to their effing wigwam. It was very clearly racist and nobody was really laughing. It just felt like full-on racial attacks, especially against the indigenous community. Tyler Schultz is the club's general manager and booker. He confirmed that the comments were said. He said he saw Voss becoming frustrated with the women as the women were being loud and disrupting the show. However, prior to the performance, Voss had been clear to the security guard that he wanted to speak directly to hecklers or people who were talking during a set, and he did not want the guard to intervene. Afterwards, club GM Schultz says he tried to educate Rich Voss about how his jokes were perceived by the audience and says the comedian seemed to have no idea how offensive they were. Schultz said, "In a culture that's so quick to cancel people and jump on their megaphones on social media to try and cancel people, we believe in educating people. We don't want to censor our comics, but if that stuff happens, we definitely don't condone racist remarks like that." Schultz says the rest of Voss's shows over the weekend went smoothly and nobody walked out. Even so, he won't be booking Rich Voss again. Weird Al got some love from Stranger Things. Spoiler for season 4, not a big spoiler. Munson says, "I knew it the moment I saw you. You sat at that table right over there looking like two little lost sheep. You were wearing a Weird Al t-shirt, which I thought was brave." Weird Al tweeted, "Hashtag brave, hashtag Stranger Things." Jamie Foxx criticized lawmakers about the Texas shooting. Jamie Foxx took to Instagram on Thursday. Foxx wrote, "Little angels, my heart goes out to your families. Never thought I would live in a society, a Christian society, where they would let little children die over and over again and still not change any laws. If the people in this country are leaders and so-called Christians, if they are going to heaven, I'll pass. Hashtag the devil is busy." If you're a longtime listener, you know I worked with Jamie Foxx for a while. He is still close to his Texas roots. He's from Terrell, Texas, and I know he goes home a lot, does that on the down low, but he's very tight with the community, so this is not terribly surprising knowing the man. Foxx's message accompanied a photo collage of 16 of the 19 children who were killed. From WCVB, Lenny Clark says he survived another near-death experience. He posted a photo of himself in a Mass General Hospital bed, Facebook Sunday afternoon, saying, "The dead live again. Thank you, MGH, for saving my life again," all caps, "and thank you so much for all your prayers and good wishes." He did not specify what led to him being hospitalized on Sunday. 2 years ago, he had a stroke. He drove himself to the hospital. He said, "I live up on the woods in a hill in Martha's Vineyard. They would have never found me in there." A lot of people treat their body like a temple. I treat mine like an amusement park. Colin Quinn is playing Colorado tonight through June 2nd from 303 Magazine. Colin says his current show, The Last Best Hope, is basically about how we live in two cults right now, the left and the right-ish. They are the dominant culture of today. I'm the worst thing you can be right now, a both-sider. The dominant culture is crazy right now. That's who gets to speak. and that's who sets tone, so I make fun of that insanity. He's excited to play the Comedy Works, a place like Comedy Works. That, to me, is ideal comedy. It's a tightly-knit room where everybody's laughter just bounces off the walls. When it goes well, there's nothing quite like that energy. Every comedian knows that in those little rooms when you kill, there's nothing like it. Comedy Dynamics releases their 200th special today, this one with comedian Helen Hong. I'm glad it's with a comedian, Comedy Dynamics. Ryan Volkweis, founder and CEO of Dynamics, cool guy, I know him a little bit. He says it's fitting that one of my favorite specials that we've ever produced also represents the 200th that Comedy Dynamics has produced. It was a joy to work with Helen. We're excited to be releasing her special. Helen says, after a year of not being on stage because of COVID, I was nervous to tape a whole hour, half of which was brand new material about my life during the pandemic, but it was an honor to help reopen NYC as part of the Tribeca Festival. I can't wait to share my experiences during this crazy time with my fans. You'll find the video version on OTT services, including Amazon Prime, Apple, YouTube, and more. It'll be released as an album on June 3rd. And that is your comedy news for today. I have to go back outside. It is hot out, and I haven't had much of a holiday weekend. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You know the deal. I'm going outside. Buy me coffee. Bye.